This week, Salon called out writer Laura Vandenberg with an over-the-top headline. Laura Vandenberg is the best young writer in America. Her debut novel is being compared to Margaret Atwood and Kazuo Ishiguro. Here's how it begins.
The first case was reported in June in Bakersfield, California, when a 50-year-old woman named Clara Sue Borden stumbled into the ER with a constellation of silver blisters on her face. She couldn't tell anyone her name or date of birth or where she lived or how she got to the ER. She remembered nothing. "I am me," she kept saying.
Laura Vandenberg, her debut novel is called Find Me. It's set in a post-apocalyptic world where a mysterious illness is ravaging the country, wiping away people's memories before it ultimately kills them. The story revolves around a young woman named Joy. She ends up quarantined in a hospital in rural Kansas. Through flashbacks, readers come to learn about Joy's troubled history and her own efforts to overcome it. Vandenberg recently sat down with Raymond Tungekar to talk about what got her so interested in writing about memory.
The subjectiveness of memory has always been really interesting to me. I mean, I think we all, to a certain degree, are guilty of self-narrating and having selective memories to a certain degree. You know, I mean, that accounts for how in a family, a group of people can witness the same events and tell different stories about that event. And in some ways, all of those stories might be true, and at the same time, you know, they're not true. And so that shaping quality, that selective quality of memory, I do think often is a really protective thing. You know, it's that Joan Didion has that wonderful line, you know, we tell ourselves stories in order to live. And I really, you know, I believe in that. And so I think one thing that I was interested in this book is looking at that on a very exaggerated scale.
Yeah, and I think that gets to the tricky nature of memory, right? Where the ones that we cherish the most and recall the most are sometimes the most inaccurate.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I do think there is something to that idea that, you know, if you feel it, it's real. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, even if the memory isn't objectively correct, and it, you know, perhaps it's not possible for any memory to be objectively correct because memory is subjective by nature. But I do think the emotions associated with it, you know, they're real, they're defining, they matter. And so I think the truth of that is worth a lot.
And was there a moment, I suppose, while kind of conceptualizing the novel, where you realized that this idea, the subjectiveness of memory, was something you wanted to explore?
Yeah. For a long time, in the early incarnations of the book, there was an epidemic and there was Joy and there was the hospital, but the epidemic was sort of more of a general epidemic. And the handling of it, I would say, was a little bit more grounded in realism, was sort of more like Contagion or something. And I sort of stubbornly felt that both Joy and this epidemic belonged together. Yet for a long time, I was stuck on what the connection was, besides just happenstance, that Joy just sort of happens to be there when this epidemic happens and she happens to be immune. And the more I sort of stayed with those questions and kept kind of pushing, the more I realized that memory and the loss of memory was the connective tissue between this disaster that's happening in America and Joy's personal story.
You mentioned Joy. She's the main character in your story.
Yes.
She's a 20-year-old. She was orphaned when she was a small child. What else can you tell us about her?
To me, Joy is so lost and is so looking for a compass. And I think she's looking for two kinds of compasses, actually, sort of a compass in the world, you know, a thing to want, a thing to search for, a thing to move her actively through her time on Earth. But I think she's also looking for that interior compass of who am I and where did I come from and what is my history and what does it mean to have the history that I have. And so in terms of the interior landscape, I mean, Joy's story is in a lot of ways very familiar to me. And in my late teens and even in my early 20s, I felt very lost, very confused, very directionless. In many ways, fiction became my compass. That moved me through my time on Earth with a sense of purpose. But just that sense of sort of being adrift and not understanding how you relate to the world or even how you relate to yourself, I mean, those were feelings, and the loneliness that comes with that, those were feelings that were very familiar to me.
Well, I want to go back to this idea of memory that we started off with. You know, in this hospital, it's this ultimate sign of good health, right? Because memory loss is the initial signs of this disease. And that seems to be kind of in contrast to how we might see it today, right? When we can file information away on a smartphone or a computer, it seems to be devalued in some way.
So I think in a day-to-day way, that's really true, that we're way less reliant on, you know, on memory than we used to be. You know, for example, who remembers phone numbers now?
Where, oh, sure.
You know, when I grew up in the 80s, you know, if you, your best friend or your grandmother or whatever, you would memorize their number. But at the same time, I think when people's memories start faltering in a major way, it's typically, you know, one of the first signs of something, you know, really being badly wrong, whether it be dementia or just the decline of old age or a brain tumor or some other sort of neurological disorder. So I think, you know, when we start to experience gaps in the memory that cause us to be totally disoriented in the world, it's a very scary thing, I mean, to experience, but it's also a very scary thing to witness.
Is that something you have witnessed before?
No, not really. I can't. I was just trying to think if I had witnessed that. You know, I mean, when my grandmother was aging, you know, I mean, certainly there were some frailties to her memory, but not on a dramatic scale. I will say, though, that one of the earliest origins of Joy's character and those questions of memory, when I was a teenager, was having a difficult time, and I was in a therapy group with a group of young women. There were a couple of women in the group who had had, you know, really devastating childhood traumas, and there were huge gaps in their recollections. And so there was this sense that this terrible thing had happened to them, yet critical information was missing. And the kind of agreed upon approach from the therapist's perspective was you have to confront this memory. And so, you know, you need to do therapy, maybe you do hypnosis, et cetera, but you have to sort of face this hidden part of yourself. And, you know, I think that certainly made sense. But at the same time, you know, there was a lot of fear around that because it's sort of like, can I endure what might be uncovered? And so even though it was so long ago, it's still, you know, witnessing that struggle and that push-pull between wanting to remember and actually being terrified to remember.
Yeah, it is asking a lot of someone to kind of surface these memories that perhaps someone might not want to remember.
And
how also that changes our self-concept, right? Once we bring up something that is uncomfortable, we can never bury it again.
Absolutely. And I think that we do that all a little bit in a very modest way in daily life where we just sort of make decisions. There are just certain things that I'm not going to look at. And I think sometimes we make those choices for perfectly sane reasons because we want, you know, to have peaceful holidays with our families or we want to have a peaceful work environment or, you know, we don't want to start another fight with our spouse or partner. So I think that we all sort of, you know, kind of make decisions about what we will sort of acknowledge and absorb and what we just will refuse to see. But I think when those decisions are almost made for you from this sort of unconscious place, it's a lot more troubling and a lot more disempowering.
That's Laura Vandenberg talking with Raymond Tungekar about her debut novel, which is called Find Me. You want more author interviews? Subscribe to our podcast. Just search iTunes for To the Best of Our Knowledge and add us to your weekly podcast menu.